If you pull out your phone right now, open the calculator app and try to divide any number by zero, you already know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, it instantly spits out an error.
Right? It just refuses. Sometimes it says undefined, sometimes it's just error, but the message is super clear. You broke the rules. I mean, you asked the machine to do something impossible and it flat out refused.
It is the ultimate mathematical dead end.
Yeah.
The system, it encounters a logic hole it just cannot bridge, so it throws its hands up and
Right.
halts the process entirely.
But what happens when the universe itself tries to divide by zero? Because surprisingly, it actually
It
does.
really does.
Yeah. When a massive star runs out of fuel and collapses in on itself, it creates a black hole singularity. And in classical physics, that is exactly what a singularity is. It's a location where the math of the universe completely breaks down. Gravity approaches absolute infinity, volume hits absolute zero, and the cosmos basically throws a massive infinity error.
Which is, I mean, incredibly frustrating for physicists.
Yeah.
Nature shouldn't have error messages. The universe exists, it
Yeah.
functions, therefore it must be computing itself somehow.
Exactly.
So if our human math outputs error at the center of a black hole, it's not the universe that's broken, it's our math.
And that realization, that's the mission for today's deep dive. We have our hands on a dense, truly fascinating source document detailing a radical new framework called Paradox Slang and the Black Hole Matrix
It's
Framework.
a wild document.
It really is.
Okay.
So our goal today for you listening is to unpack how a totally new set of mathematical operations is trying to fix this cosmic division by zero problem. We're going to explore how this framework transforms our understanding of black holes from these like impossible logic-breaking paradoxes into computable, finite, structured data.
It represents a profound paradigm shift. We're moving away from classical mathematics, which is, very rigid, to what the framework terms intelligent math.
Let's hover on that philosophical shift for a second, because before we even get to the physics of black holes, the source document approaches the concept of truth differently.
Right.
It says we shouldn't look at math as a static fact, like, a number written in chalk on a blackboard. It treats truth as a trajectory and computation itself as a question-answer collapse. But I mean, if math is normally just writing 2 + 2 = 4, what does an active query actually mean?
It's a great question because that phrasing is really the key to everything else we're going to discuss today. In standard math, an equation just sits there on the page. It's universally true, regardless of what's happening around it.
Right.
But in this paradox Lang framework, an equation is an active interrogation of the universe. You're asking space-time a question, and the answer, well, it collapses into reality based on the physical context of the system at that exact moment.
Yeah.
It's dynamic, not static.
Okay, let's ground this in the physics. Because before we can fix a black hole, we have to understand exactly why dividing by zero is so destructive and like how this new framework steps in. Let's look at the classical error for a singularity.
Density equals mass divided by volume.
Exactly. So I'm picturing a massive dying star, right? Its core is just collapsing inward under its own weight.
Right. And as it collapses, the mass stays the exact same, but the space it occupies, the volume, gets smaller and smaller. In classical math, nothing stops it. The denominator, the volume, eventually hits zero. And when you divide a star's mass by zero, the resulting density spikes to absolute infinity.
Infinite gravity, infinite curvature of space-time.
Yeah, the math just drives off a cliff.
But the source document completely reframes this. It introduces this concept of black holes as the matrix. It describes event horizons not just as the point of no return, but as collapse boundaries.
And the singularities aren't dead ends, they are uncollapsible terminals.
Yes. And to navigate this bizarre matrix, it introduces 32 non-singular division-like operations.
This is where that concept of intelligent math really takes over. In our standard toolkit, division is a blind operator. It just does the exact step it's told, even if it results in an impossible infinity.
Right.
These 32 new operations in paradox Lang, they're context aware. Instead of blindly throwing an error when that denominator approaches zero, these operations actively assess the state of the physics and dynamically decide how to avoid a singularity.
They act like built-in safety mechanisms for reality. And a fundamental concept underneath this, which honestly took me a minute to wrap my head around, is the claim that paradoxes are not contradictions, they are oscillations.
Right, the oscillation concept is crucial.
Let's try to visualize this for everyone. Imagine you're driving a car. Standard division is a straight road. When you run out of road, when you hit zero, the standard math car just smashes full speed into a brick wall. Crash. Infinity error.
A total halt.
Right. But this paradox Lang math, Instead of a brick wall, it builds a roundabout. The car doesn't crash. It just enters the roundabout and keeps circling, oscillating, until a new road is built or the parameters change.
That's a really strong visualization.
Yeah.
In mathematical terms, the computation enters a limit cycle. It acknowledges that the linear progression has ended, but the computational process, the underlying information of the system, must continue.
It has to go somewhere.
Exactly. It can't just vanish. So it cycles through valid mathematical states rather than breaking.
I see the appeal of the roundabout. I really do. But I have to push back here for a second. Isn't labeling a paradox an oscillation kind of a fancy philosophical loophole?
How so?
Well, if I ask you for a precise number, a specific coordinate for the center of the black hole, and the math just starts vibrating and saying, well, I'm oscillating between these states. It hasn't really answered my question, has it?
Well, that tension you're feeling is entirely normal because you're applying macroscopic logic to a quantum problem.
Well,
in the everyday world we live in, we demand single, static answers. My keys are either on the table or they aren't. But at the extreme boundaries of black holes, where quantum mechanics and gravity collide, nature simply doesn't deal in absolute infinities or singular static states.
So the vibration is the answer.
Yes. In this framework, shifting to a limit cycle is the valid answer. The dynamic oscillation is the physical reality. It's the universe telling you that demanding a static dot at the center of a black hole is just asking the wrong question.
It's essentially saying the answer is motion. I can accept that. So if we accept that the universe's math can be intelligent and can build these roundabouts to dodge brick walls, how does this actually compile the core of a black hole?
Right, let's get into the mechanics.
For this particular episode, we really want to focus on the list of the three most significant operators for black holes from the text. There are 32, but let's list the top three and specifically describe how each operator transforms an infinite, impossible value into a finite, usable result.
Absolutely. The first one on that list is called singularity shield. It's represented by a specific circled cross symbol in the framework. And this operator targets the most glaring problem we just discussed, which is infinite density.
Right. The equation where the dying star's volume shrinks to zero. So how does singularity shield intervene and make that finite before the car hits the wall?
It applies a Planck scale cutoff. Now, to understand why that works, we need to talk about what the Planck scale is. In physics, the Planck length, and by extension, the Planck volume, is theoretically the smallest meaningful measurement of space in the universe.
Okay.
Below that scale, the concept of distance or size just ceases to make physical sense. Space-time essentially becomes quantized. It gets chunky.
Like pixels on a screen.
Exactly like pixels. So when the mathematical operator is calculating the collapse, instead of letting the volume in our denominator drop all the way to a true absolute zero, the singularity shield operator senses the approach and swaps out the zero for the Planck volume.
Wow.
Yeah, it divides by the fundamental pixel size of the universe.
So it literally builds a floor. It tells the collapsing star, you can fall, but you can only fall this far. And by doing that, the output transforms from infinite density into what the paper calls a Planck density core.
Yes, exactly.
It's a massive, incomprehensible number, but it is strictly finite. It transforms the infinite into the finite.
It halts the runaway train right at the structural limit of space-time.
But wait, if we just put a floor there, the black hole just sits there at maximum density forever. Doesn't the universe abhor a totally static, frozen system? How does the framework handle a core that's permanently stuck at the bottom?
It introduces time.
Mm-hmm.
And it does this through the second major operator on our list, which is called Hawking radiance.
Okay.
When classical division hits zero, it creates a frozen paradox. It forces the system to hold an infinite value statically forever. The Hawking radiance operator refuses to allow static error.
So how does a mathematical operator create time? I mean, how does it make that finite?
By fundamentally altering the output type. Instead of trying to force the calculation into a single spatial point, it forces the division to radiate the unresolvable data away as a thermal spectrum stream.
Oh, I see. So it's taking the impossible infinite data that's piling up at the singularity and bleeding it off over billions of years.
Right.
It converts a spatial problem, like where do we put all this infinite mass into a temporal process? By radiating the energy and information away, step by step, the output isn't a single impossible number. It's a finite stream of data over time. The black hole becomes an incredibly slow, evaporating computation.
Yes. Information is conserved. It completely alters the timeline of the black hole from a permanent scar to a temporary processing phase.
That is so cool. Okay, so that leaves us with the third major operator on the list, uncertain quotient. We have a floor with singularity shield, and we have a pressure release valve over time with Hawking radiance. But what happens if I try to zoom in and pinpoint the exact coordinates of that dense core right now? How does it handle our demand for precision without hitting infinity?
Uncertain quotient tackles the precision problem using the concept of entropy. When the denominator nears zero in the specific operation, it doesn't just spike to a sharp point of infinity. Instead, it outputs an uncertain value based on the entropy, the inherent disorder, or hidden information of the denominator itself.
The source calls this entropy smearing.
Mm-hmm.
How does that actually turn an infinite spike into a finite result mechanically?
It's the mathematical equivalent of the quantum uncertainty principle applied to division.
Okay.
The uncertainty principle tells us you cannot simultaneously know a particle's exact position and momentum. The more you pin down one, the fuzzier the other gets. Uncertain quotient does this to the singularity. The formula essentially becomes the numerator divided by the denominator, plus or minus a factor of entropy.
So that sharp, impossible, infinite point gets literally smoothed out. It becomes a finite, high-entropy probability distribution. It's no longer a spike to infinity. It's a finite bell curve. To pull this all together for you listening, think about rendering a massive, photorealistic video game world. It's like the engine prioritizing stability over perfection. Singularity shield is the system capping the polygon count. It says, we physically cannot render anything smaller than this pixel, stopping the engine from freezing.
I love this analogy.
Thanks. And then Hawking radiance is streaming the rendering process over time so the processor doesn't melt trying to load the entire infinite universe at once. And uncertain quotient. That's the engine introducing a depth of field blur when you try to zoom the camera infinitely close to an object. It smears the visual data rather than crashing the entire game.
That captures the essence perfectly, because in both the video game engine and the fabric of space-time, the ultimate priority is the continued survival of the system. The universe will sacrifice impossible absolute precision to maintain logical consistency.
So, those three operators, singularity shield, Hawking radiance, and uncertain quotient, they rewrite the absolute core of the paradox from infinite to finite. But a black hole is a massive, complex system. We have to look at how the framework compiles the rest of the reality around it.
Right.
Because the singularity is no longer an undefined hole, the source document officially defines it as a composite computational state.
It's a fully computable entity within what they call the ODECCT framework. And while those top three operators handle the heaviest infinities, ParadoxLang uses several of the other 29 operators to fill in the surrounding logical gaps and hold the whole structure together.
And some of these are wild. For example, there's projective divide. If you have a trajectory firing off into infinity instead of it just disappearing, this operator bends the math so that the point at infinity actually wraps around and becomes a valid mapped coordinate on a loop.
It closes the geometry, yeah.
But the one I really want to unpack with you is wormhole quotient. Because if the inside of this black hole is sealed off from us, what happens to all that chaotic mathematical processing inside? Where does it go?
That's where the framework gets incredibly clever, pulling in one of the most cutting-edge theories in modern physics. Wormhole quotient operates on a principle called ER equals EPR.
Right, let's break that jargon down. What do those letters actually mean?
So ER stands for Einstein-Rosen bridges, which is just the technical term for wormholes, shortcuts through space-time.
Okay.
And EPR stands for the Einstein-Podolsky-Rosen paradox, which is a foundational paper describing quantum entanglement, where two particles act as a single system no matter how far apart they are. The ER equals EPR conjecture suggests that these two phenomena are actually the exact same thing.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Quantum entanglement is essentially a microscopic wormhole.
So two particles connected across the galaxy are actually physically tethered by a tiny tunnel in space.
Exactly. And the wormhole quotient applies this rule mathematically. It ensures that the chaotic computational states happening inside the event horizon are entangled with the universe outside the black hole. The information isn't isolated or lost. It is non-locally connected back to the rest of the universe.
It weaves the black hole back into the fabric of reality. That is incredible. And then you have the Novikov quotient, which deals with the nightmare of time travel paradoxes. Because space-time gets so warped inside a black hole, closed time-like curves, basically time loops, become mathematically possible.
Right, which usually breaks causality.
But this operator senses if a logic paradox is about to occur, and it actively self-adjusts its own numerator to prevent the contradiction from ever happening. It edits the past math to save the future math.
It's self-correcting logic.
But I want to spend a minute on firewall divide.
The AMPS firewall logic. This one is highly debated in physics.
Because the source material says that when firewall divide steps in, if the denominator hits zero or a quantum limit is breached, it doesn't give you a value. It just blocks access. It returns a receipt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, look, I understand the need for safety mechanisms, but if the math just blocks your query and hands you a keepout sign, isn't that just a fancy way of sweeping the infinity under the rug? It feels like a mathematical bouncer at a club saying, you're not on the list, so we don't have to admit we don't know what's happening inside.
It is very tempting to interpret it that way. But we have to look at the actual physics paradox this operator is solving. AMPS is an acronym for four physicists: Omari, Maroff, Polchinski, and Sully.
Okay.
They highlighted a massive contradiction in black hole physics. To oversimplify, they found that if you try to extract perfectly preserved information from an old black hole while also keeping quantum mechanics intact to the event horizon, the math breaks. The only way to save quantum mechanics is if the event horizon becomes a literal wall of high-energy radiation, a firewall.
So if you try to cross the threshold and observe the entangled data, you just instantly burn up.
Precisely. The universe physically prevents you from accessing contradictory information. So the firewall divide operator isn't a cop-out. It isn't hiding the answer. It is the formal mathematical recognition of an access control limit in the universe's matrix.
It's saying you literally do not have the quantum clearance to observe this state. The universe's servers are closed.
And that realization is the ultimate takeaway for you, listening to this deep dive. For nearly a century, singularities represented literal holes in reality. They were places where causality died, where information was deleted, and where logic just ceased to exist.
Yeah.
But when you compile a black hole using these paradox-lying operators, the paradigm shifts entirely.
It means the universe doesn't have any holes in it at all. It's a completely closed, perfectly functioning system.
Information is strictly conserved, whether it's smeared out as entropy, radiated away over eons, or entangled through microscopic wormholes. Causality is rigorously protected by firewalls and self-consistency operators. The cosmos remains logically intact.
We started this conversation staring at a broken calculator app, frustrated by a division by zero error. And we've just journeyed through a reimagined cosmos where that error doesn't exist. We learned that by swapping out rigid math for intelligent, context-aware operations, we can rewrite the rules.
Operations that know exactly when to apply a physical floor with singularity shield, when to bleed off data temporally with Hawking radiance, or when to blur impossible precision into a finite probability bell curve with uncertain quotient.
We redefine the very heart of the black hole. It goes from being an impossible bug in the universe's code to a beautifully complex, highly structured feature. It changes everything about how we view the extremes of nature.
It really proves that reality is much more resilient than our classical mathematics gave it credit for.
It really is. But before we wrap up today, I want to leave you with one final, slightly provocative thought to chew on. Something that builds on this framework, but takes it out of the cosmos and puts it right here on Earth.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
We've spent the whole time talking about applying these intelligent operations to gravity and black holes. But what if we applied this exact same non-singular logic to artificial intelligence?
Oh, wow. That is a staggering implication.
Right. If these intelligent mathematical operations can resolve cosmic paradoxes by dynamically adjusting themselves, like a Novikov quotient modifying its own parameters to avoid a logical contradiction, or the uncertain quotient smearing an impossible demand into a probability, imagine an AI system built on this architecture.
Yeah.
Instead of hallucinating, freezing, or crashing when it faces an impossible contradiction or a cognitive limit, what if the AI could creatively redefine its own parameters? Could it use a mathematical limit cycle to evolve past a paradox entirely?
It completely reframes computation. I mean, if you give a machine the ability to dynamically oscillate and adjust its state instead of just breaking against a binary wall, you might just be giving it the architectural foundation to truly think.
Exactly. If the universe uses this math to survive a black hole, maybe this is the blueprint for the next evolution of intelligence. So the next time you type something into a calculator and it flashes an error message, just remember, you didn't break the rules of reality. You just haven't taught your calculator how to oscillate yet.